Hey, Jamie, I've got a question for you.
What do you want, Tom?
Who's on the podcast this coming Friday? Is it someone big?
Boy.
Is it a big one? Shall I bother listening this week?
Yeah. If I was going to say take.
And I would say off.
No.
Your trousers.
No, no. Take.
Me out.
No. Take.
Paddy McGuinness.
No. Take.
Take on me.
Take that.
Wow.
Have a little patience.
But hang on, presumably you haven't got all three of them, have you? Presumably you've just got one of them.
Buddy, we have all three of them on the podcast. They've released a new album. It's coming out. They're going on tour. They talk about the ups, the downs, the lefts, the rights, on everything that happened in Take That.
The ins, the outs.
And they reveal it all this Friday.
Exclusively.
On Private Parts.
That's a big one. I'm going to listen to that.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
What's going on, everybody? Episode 3 of the original Mummy's Boy Takeover. You know who it is. Ilford's finest. Blah, 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 blah. Like I said, we do need some Westworld hordes in here, but I think I'm the only one who thinks that. Episode 3 of my takeover of the I Am Whole Truth podcast. I have two very, very, very special guests with me. The first one, well, this introduction I could definitely not memorize by heart, so I'm going to have to read it for you all. Ladies and gentlemen, make some noise for Leon McKenzie. Former Premiership footballer, played in all the English leagues, scoring in every league, winning 2 promotional medals and having a career of over 115 goals. Having retired from football several years later, Leon stepped into the professional boxing ring at 35 years old, winning an international master's title and challenging for Southern Area and English titles, retiring at 39 years old, winning a 1 draw and 2 losses. Since retiring from competing in elite sports, Leon has become a force for helping others listen and discussing the topic of mental health. Through his own experiences, he has now become an incredible motivational and inspirational speaker and gives help to those by raising awareness not only in the UK but internationally on a global scale. I remember when I first met Leon, it was due to the lovely social media, and we slid into each other's DMs, and then we was on the phone, and then before you knew it, we met at Prince Charles's house.
Energy.
Yeah, and it was just like everything was aligned, and then I went to speak at his event, and then before you knew it, we was best friends. Leon McKenzie with us, everybody. Yay! Danny, I don't know how you're going to follow that.
You should have introduced me first.
No. All right. Danny Cunningham is also here with us, ladies and gentlemen. A very good friend of mine who I've had the pleasure of knowing for nearly a decade.
Yeah, it's nearly a decade.
Danny is a health and fitness expert. I know he's an expert because he managed to get me into the gym, and that is a very difficult task indeed. He's always finding new and encouraging ways to motivate and inspire people to live a healthier lifestyle. He grew up in London, specifically East London, right next to me, shall I say, and started competitive sports from childhood. His passion for training continued into adulthood when he studied sports science at college and university. He has now been a trainer for over 10 years and is currently based at Third Space London, which I have to say is a very bougie gym.
It really is.
Danny Cunningham is with us, everybody. Yeah. So I met Danny again on, it was Facebook, I remember.
We originally met through Sadaf, didn't
we? Yeah, Sadaf Shah.
The girl you were training with.
Yep, she was training
with Mount Everest.
Kilimanjaro.
Kilimanjaro, sorry.
I feel like I've climbed Everest with my life, I tell you that. All right, where do we begin? I think, first of all, mental health and fitness is such a massive conversation right now. And I'm very excited to have both of you here because I think you both have a lot of valuable insight to give. So Leon, let's start with you. How are you today, by the way?
I'm good.
I feel like I didn't even... Are you good?
Yeah, good. Just super busy.
Yep.
But
What does busy mean?
I say super busy, you know when you sort of cram your life with just constant work?
Mm-hmm.
And it gets to the point where I really need to look at my diary now because I'm double booking and I'm making mistakes. And But I do that. I'm like that for a reason, just for the simple purpose. I was speaking to Danny earlier on. Like, I try and be extra busy because when I'm not and it's all quiet, that's when things really affect me. Do you know what I mean? As an individual, when I have enough time to think, when I'm alone at home now, that's when my character kind of shows me, okay, it's time to get up and go and do something. Do you know what I mean? So things are good at the moment. A massive 2020. There's so many things coming. Documentary film coming called 10 Count. That's going to be released this year.
Come on.
Going through distribution stages now. Obviously speaking to Netflix and so forth, which is...
Wow, it's congratulations.
It's going to change the game. I'm literally just about to do something very special with TalkSport.
Yes. We love to hear
which
it.
I'm not saying nothing just yet, but in the process...
It's en route.
In the process of having my own show with another particular former cricketer, Steve Harmison, who's another fantastic, was a fantastic athlete and now is doing a lot as well.
And you met The Rock.
And I met Dwayne Johnson.
All right, talk us through this.
Well, the story on that, right? See, this is why I believe in the universe and energy, right? Because
he's a fan of your work.
He's a fan of my work.
Yeah. You keep that, please. That's the people's elbow, you know.
He's a fan
of my
work.
That's the people's
camp. That's all I'm saying.
You smell what Liam's cooking?
Do you know what
I'll tell you what, though, right? So to cut a long story short, obviously with the process of this film, been filming for the best part of 5 years now.
Wow.
You know, football, boxing, and I incorporated mental health awareness into the documentary.
Mm-hmm.
So that's me interviewing other athletes, getting into the real core of why athletes are so susceptible to mental health issues, what's really going on, what can we change? And just looking into those areas. Now, as time went on, I just started reaching out. I'm the type of person who's a bit of a go-getter.
Yeah, very proactive.
I just put myself in the situations where it becomes productive. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, I'm not going to lose sleep. It's just making sure that you put yourself out there in a position to make sure that you know you tried, right?
It's a great mindset to have because I feel like I'm in a very similar position in my life as well. I'm like, if I see somebody doing something I like, I'm going to let you know.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
And exactly that.
And if something manifests from that, it does.
Exactly.
If it doesn't, it's all good still.
So with this, his name popped up, The Rock, and I was like, how am I going to get hold of this guy? So I actually had a family friend who is a very special director and called Julian. And he was working on the Ballers set, the US sitcom, you know, Ballers.
Yeah, is that the one with Jennifer Lopez? No, that's the movie.
No, that's the movie. That is an actual... But it's like a kind of Entourage kind of thing, but Ballers about NFL and... And obviously Dwayne Johnson's in that.
I think I just made up a movie that Jennifer Lopez was in.
Maybe we can have a little chat with her because I don't know what movie that is.
Hustlers, that's it.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, not Ballers.
So basically, I got hold of his email and I wrote out like a heartfelt message just to Dwayne Johnson, just saying, look, I'm doing this documentary. This is, you know, what it's about. This is, you know, what I'm trying to bring. And about 2 o'clock in the morning, maybe a week or so later, my phone pops off, like just goes off. And I never like it when it goes off at that time. And I looked across at the message.
Yeah.
I was like, who's messaging me at this time? No. Anyway, so I looked at it and it was the director. He's like, Leon, just to let you know that Dwayne's read your message and... He's totally blown away. Like, thinks what you're doing is amazing. It's fantastic. Loves your story, and he's like, he wants to fly you over to LA, you and your team, to do this interview.
Wow.
Right. Obviously, it's not my field doing interviews and that, but you know, I've been doing it, and I've interviewed like Kelly Holmes, Frank Bruno, Ricky, and all those kind of people in the UK. But now you're going into a different kind of territory. Now I'm like, okay, I'm going to LA now to interview The Rock. So he flew us over. I went onto the Ballers set.
Mm-hmm.
You know when you're just like thinking, is this actually happening?
Yeah.
I'm like walking.
I mean, no, Liam, because that's never actually happened.
But
I don't know what this feels.
Honestly, when you're
but I feel like I'm living it through this story that you're telling.
Yeah, I'm walking onto the border set and you're seeing how it's all set out and blah, and I'm just like, wow. Like, I'm actually here. That's why I'm just like holding on to the power of the energy and the universe and everything else that comes with it. And then, you know, I sat in this room and we're all waiting for him to come in because he was a little bit late. And then honestly, he came in, man mountain of a guy. Mm-hmm. Like, he came in and I don't really fear situations, but I felt like, ooh, like,
wow, yeah.
Like, oh my gosh, like now I'm a little bit starstruck.
Yeah, of course. I mean, he's our child. He's everyone's childhood hero.
Now I'm a bit starstruck, and he's walked into the room, and he'd done something really smart, and he was quite clever, actually. But you can see he's obviously in the acting game. So he knows I'm really nervous. And my team are like, look, we know he's got to get back to ballers. We're a bit conscious of time. So get right down to the real questions. Like, get right down, ask him the real questions about depression and right? Because we know he's had history of depression and suffering. So I was like, okay, cool. All right, let me do this. Anyway, so he sat down, like, great, pleased to meet you. He's great. And then I've gone, right, so, Dwayne, I know we're a bit conscious of time. I know you've got to get back on set. So I'm going to just ask you, first question direct, have you ever suffered from depression? And he sat there and he looked at me like this, and he's a big guy. He looked at me like this, straight-faced, and just went, no. And it just continues to look at me like this, quiet. And I started panicking.
Right? Yeah, naturally.
So I was like,
it's awkward.
Literally didn't know what to do, right? For honestly, for about 10 seconds.
And that must have felt like 10 hours.
it felt like a day. Yeah? It felt like 24 hours, yeah? And I looked back at the team, and they was all a bit like, didn't know really what to say. And then he saw that I was uncomfortable. And he was just like, I'm going to give you more than that, man. He's like, I'm going to give you more than that, man. Don't. And he's like, come on, my brother. I was like, okay. Cool. Yeah, no. I was like, woo, you got me there. Wow. And then literally for the next hour gave me an amazing, amazing interview. Like, I can't wait.
And when can we see it?
Well, again, you know, it's like with all the political.
I mean, I don't know what it's like, but
well, you will.
I'll wait.
Yeah, but yeah, wow. it's coming. Like I say,
yeah,
not sure the date yet, but it will be this year. So that's going to change a lot.
No, well done, congratulations. Yeah. I do think, like, definitely when it comes to sports, you was one of the first people I ever saw speaking about your own personal experiences in such a real, delicate, raw manner. And that is nothing but admirable. So thank you for what you're doing.
You.
And I'm really excited to see what the rest of the year pans out. All right, Danny, your turn. You got to beat that. All right, no, I've got a very good question for you, yeah? So when I've gone to a third space gym class, or just any gym class with Danny, one thing I have noticed in particular, the classes are always busy. It's Saturday morning. And his classes are busy. Busy to the point where he has to turn people away.
Yeah, which is never a nice thing to do.
Yeah, so how do you create that atmosphere?
So, first of all, they never started busy. When I first took over a lot of these classes, it's not that there's just too many members, because Third Space have a really strict policy on how many people they have in any club.
Yeah.
So one person comes, they enjoy it, then they tell their friend, and then their friend tells a friend, and then they get really busy.
What do they enjoy?
But that's the thing. The thing that they enjoy is A, the
pain.
Music. The music is big.
Oh, yeah,
it sounds ridiculous, but it's about motivation.
He has got a good playlist, hang on, lad.
And music and motivation go hand in hand.
What music
group
is it?
Exercise.
He's got
classes.
This one tune, yeah, he plays, and it goes like, this beat will make you lose your mind. Or something like that,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah, no, that's one thing. So there's a whole suite of reasons that will make that, which actually make it enjoyable. So that includes the programming, so the way it's all structured, the music, the whole motivation of being shoulder to shoulder with everyone in that kind of exciting environment.
Mm-hmm.
And the other big thing is that it's inclusive. So, for example, whether you're an elite athlete and you're coming in and you want to be challenged, there'll be a variation of every exercise that's going to push you out of your comfort zone. But whether you're Maggie, who's hardly ever even done a press-up in her life, she's going to be able to participate as well. Shoulder to shoulder with this elite athlete, but they'll all have their own routine, things that they
that's,
can
that's
do.
Good. Yeah, that's
in a
good.
Busy class with, like, you know, yeah. anywhere between 20 to 80 people, they'll still be able to do their thing and work at their pace. And it's about being in that kind of inclusive environment where they're going to have fun. They're going to not. They're going to be challenged, but they're not going to be challenged to a degree that they're uncomfortable. And that's what makes them want to come back week on week. And they see results as well, which is obviously a massive thing.
I definitely feel like, knowing you for so long, there was a period in your life where something clicked and your mindset shifted. Like, you was always a very ambitious person, but out of nowhere, what it seemed like for me, I don't know what it was like for you, your mindset was just like, no, 6 a.m., 5 a.m., 4 a.m. starts every day.
Every single day.
So how did you build that mindset?
Well, I've always been driven with everything, you know, but there's been times in my life where there's been things like university and training. And then there were times where I was doing what I love, i.e. the group exercise and training, but also doing other jobs on the side as well.
Well, this is, interesting.
And then, so that was over. So for about 3 years, as you know, I was, after sport and exercise science at uni, I was a full-time PT in group exercise. Then I transitioned for a little while, for like 7 years, doing it in the morning, evenings and weekends, but doing another job on the side. Yeah. Reason being, just to have extra experience in other areas, to build my business acumen. So I was working in like some big corporate companies, 9 to 5, but then in the evenings and weekends, still doing what I love. But then after a period of time, I started to think, wait a second, we're all put here for a reason. And if you enjoy what you're doing, chances are, if you're adding value to people and you're enjoying it, then you're on the right path. So I took a step back and I thought, hold on a second, rather than juggling two things at once, i.e. a corporate career and the training, why not just go all in on the one thing that I'm really, really good at and that I love and that I add more value in? So that was when, quite a few years ago, I went all in just on the training. And that was the click. That's what you're talking about. Because that was it. Because it was from being good at two things to then going all in and trying to become exceptional at the one thing, the training. And that was it. So now every single day I'm in the 4 a.m. club, waking up really early to make sure that I'm there bright and fresh to motivate as many people as I can and train as many people in a good, productive way as possible.
What motivates you?
The passion that I bring to other people as well. You know, you were saying about energy being very contagious. I noticed when I bring my positivity and energy to people, that smile and that energy just is contagious and it transforms them. So a good example is there was a lady called Susan a while ago. A couple of years ago, she first started training with me at Third Space. When she first turned up, she was a little bit overweight, still quite a positive person, but she'd come along, she'd do the odd class here and there, and she was always doing different stuff, different things. One week she'd be doing one thing, the next week she'd give it a miss, then she'll come back, and she was never really fully in the zone. But I sat down and had a chat with her, and I said, Susan, what you should do is think about picking a few classes that you love, sticking to them every single week, and blocking those gaps out in your diary. And making sure no matter what happens, you do it every single week, week on week, without fail. Definitely. Anyway, she did it. She said, look, this morning I wasn't in the mood, but I sat down on the weekend. I did exactly what you said. I had them blocked out. And she did. She came back week on week. And literally after 2 weeks of following that program, of making sure every time she turned up at the same times, I noticed a completely different persona in her. She was a lot more cheerful and positive because she had a purpose to get up and go and come to that session. Right, with the same faces all around her and everything.
So I'm definitely... Wait, by the way, how are you?
I'm good. I've already been training early in the morning.
Okay, that's good.
It's your colleague and friend Rose earlier on was saying it's early in the morning for us because we do a lot of training. You know, this is afternoon for us at 9 a.m.
So this is... It kind of feel like the fitness world or the sport world runs its own time. Do you know what I mean? I felt that when I was in LA as well, like a lot of places closed early. Because the next morning yoga starts really early and the juice bars are open really early. I definitely have found for myself that there's a beautiful relationship between physical health and mental health. And that's what I really want to get into now. Because I found that when people say, oh yeah, go to the... for example, if I was to say to you, oh Leon, I'm depressed. And someone says to me, oh yeah, well go to the gym. Like,
so that's what you want to do?
Yeah, but that's not what I want to do when I'm feeling depressed, because that's not, in my head, that's not going to cure me. But what I did think played a massive role in the cure of my depression journey was that structure, getting up early, going to the gym, being a part of something. So Can any of you shed a bit more light on that relationship between physical health and mental health?
All right, so here's the thing, right? So for me, it's all about energy. So as Danny was saying there, which was I picked up on observation in the respect of trying to make people feel good, what you bring and what you know, what you bring, what they can actually get from what you bring, right?
Yeah.
So that energy factor is massive. So as you say there, might be suffering from depression, you go through little bouts. I still go through little days where I'm like, oh, like, don't really want to go and coach this morning. You know what I mean? What happens is that if I can hand on my heart, say to you, who's saying, come and see me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll do a session. I know for a fact because of the way I.
Yeah. I know what you're going to say.
I know for a fact because of my mindset and the pain I've been through in my own life, experiences and everything that comes with me. I know my energy is going to change what you're going through.
So you're going to install something.
I'm going to install a positive little bit of juice for you to walk away and think, you know, actually, that felt good.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden, there's a little light bulb moment going off. And now you're thinking, actually, that did feel good.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go back because I don't want to feel how I'm feeling. So it's a lot to do with, number one, like who you train with, what kind of energy you have with that person who's helping you.
So can I just interrupt you there? That's very, very important, you know, because who you train with is so key, because the gym or working out environment is a very intimate, sweaty, up in your face. I'm going to like the people touching people at certain parts, not inappropriately, but like to aid them with like their form or whatever. But it's a very intimate environment and you have to feel comfortable.
Yeah, sure. You have to feel comfortable in you know, I know there's many shapes and sizes and everyone's got different personalities. And as a coach, you have to identify who's a little bit more reserved, who's maybe going through some trauma at the time. A lot of personal training is literally speaking and listening, but still trying to coach.
It's therapy in a way as well, isn't
Correct.
It?
Correct.
Your therapist. It's
100%. Like, you have 100%.
A lot of similarities, yeah, to hairdressers.
100%.
Because they listen a lot.
Well, they're listening a lot, and then they're adding value to the person's life as well. Yeah, so that's true. And they're making them look better. So, there are some similarities.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
So there's lots of things, even like with Danny's playlist, there'd be a number of people who, you know, music is everything for me. Music is an extreme power.
Episode 4 is going
to
be music.
Music is an extreme power to change the way you're thinking at that particular time. I can listen to, even this morning, I was listening to Billie
Eilish,
right? Because she's my girl at the moment. So I've been listening to her. But she puts me in a place of like, I can go deep in my thinking. Yeah. Sometimes she brings a sadness to me because I hear it. And I'm like, you know, getting the tube and I'm on my way here. And my mind is going into areas and I'm thinking, oof. And then a certain tune might come on and it might be more
triggering,
might be more hip hop, might be more kind of. Let's go and get it now.
What is your beast mode songs?
Ooh.
Oh, that's a good question.
Like when I say beast mode, for those of you who are unaware, it's for people like us who are elite athletes. Yeah. No, it's like when you're in the gym and there's like 3 minutes
it's
left.
It's hard to say. I need to pull out some space.
It is hard to say.
3 minutes
it
left.
It depends on the atmosphere you're in, the kind of training you're doing, and who you're with as well, because they all make a difference.
When I'm running, the one song that comes on and I have to go...
Sprint.
I have to. Yeah. It is one of two songs. One is Beyonce featuring Kendrick Lamar, Freedom.
Yep.
Because they say a winner never quits on himself. So that line always gets me. And the other one is Rocky, I Have the Tiger. And it's a long song though, man. Yeah, I'm not going to lie. It's so when childhood. I'm like, bloody hell, this is going on for a long time.
Yeah, Rocky's chart. I mean, I got it. I've got Rocky tattooed on my arm.
Have you actually?
Yeah, that it's childhood for me, Rocky. Mm. With Rocky, with the soundtracks, when I listened to Rocky, you know, when I was running and I was going through my fighting kind of stages, therapeutic, but also brings like a different kind of emotion.
Mm-hmm.
So there's certain music that, like, I go back to my childhood and I'm thinking, like, you know, when I see my dad and that, obviously he was boxing at the time, and my Uncle Duke and
all these nostalgic
childhood. Yeah. So there's certain things in it where I actually feel like a child again. Literally, I feel like a boy again, trying to, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You
just I completely
go, and you go a little few, you visualize the film and little things, and it's crazy how
pockets of memories and moments. Did you find your Beast Mode song?
Yeah, no, there's too many to mention.
Go on, give us three.
I'm gonna have to find you.
Give us a top.
So it depends on the mood. So there's one classic old school banger that I really like, and it depends if I'm doing like a
I feel like he's trying to justify the reason for this
okay,
tune.
Okay, so one tune that when I play it, I get fired up. I want to do some like bag work or some sparring or something like that, boxing style. Would be Kano P's and Q's.
Oh yeah, that's a nice, hard song.
That's a nice classic.
Yeah. Someone that don't like me.
And that's strong. Yeah,
is that
strong
how it goes? Someone that don't like me. They try to bam.
Yeah, you
Kano comes correct. Down.
Yeah, but then if you're doing more of a kind of hit style class, then you want something a little bit more. There's a really good artist called Tin Liquor.
Okay. Sick.
Yeah, there's a track called Neko, N-E-K-O.
Okay,
and
yeah.
That you want to get, you listen to that, you just want to run and train and keep the body moving.
Mm.
That's really good. And track three, just to get you in the zone, because it's different and it's unusual, a group called Gorgon City, and the track's called Roped In.
Ooh,
longest introduction you've ever heard.
I like some of their songs. But it gets you
pumped up. You're waiting what's going to happen next. As soon as the beat drops,
yeah, you
bam,
love that. You're a music producer as well.
Yeah, as a hobby.
He has music producer bones.
Okay.
That's why the music in my classes plays such an important...
I'm always trying to get him to produce stuff. Always, I'm telling him.
But that is another example of how I redirected all my energy into one thing that I love.
Yeah.
So before I was working corporate world, I was working a trainer and I was doing...
And how was that for you mentally?
It was good, but I was good at everything, but not great at anything, if that makes sense. So when I went all in just with... The training and the group exercise, putting my music producing into that basket, putting my business acumen into that as well, where it was also being used in the corporate world, but then putting my passion for training all into this one area, enabled me to take it all to the next level.
Let me ask you a question, Danny, and we'll come back to your Beast Mode songs.
I've got too many Beast Mode songs.
I'm waiting for these. I want to hear the football ones, the boxing
ones. I've got too many Beast Mode songs, but I'm just going to give you one where when it comes on, I'm just like, nah.
Take the top off.
It's more of like a feel good tune.
All right, so no, I mean,
yeah, feel good is
yeah,
the
just
big
a
thing.
Feel good tune.
Danny, question I have for you, someone like me, 2 years ago, I'd go into a gym and I'd be very good at talking myself out of a situation. So I'd be like, oh, you know what it is? Yeah, I can't really do them burpees because I must have hurt my ankle in 1994.
I've already seen the signs he's in.
I just remember my goldfish has got the flu, so I better not train today. Yeah.
Leon has been about every day.
There's always an excuse.
Many of times. And I say, yeah, Wednesday, I'm coming, or what, now?
I want to hear some of these excuses.
Let me tell you something now,
Because
you know he's a fantastic poet,
Yeah, he's a master of words.
The way the guy just talks in the way, like, yeah, well, you know, I'll be there. He's basically contacted me so many times to say, yeah, Lee, I'm coming. Like, literally, I'm coming.
On the way.
Right? I see him doing it, and I'm like,
and then like,
I'm there.
And then for whatever reason...
I'm like, oh, the A406, crazy traffic. Or
something's happened, or, Lee, something's come up. And And I'm like, bro, when you're ready.
And maybe it's because I'm scared to be great.
When you're ready.
Here's an interesting question for
but
you.
There's something fearful that's going on with your mind.
Mm. Yeah, that's what I'm wondering.
I'm scared of my own capabilities.
So Leon's a big, tough, strong
not really.
Boxing footballer guy.
No, he shakes so, your hand, your hand feels like fall off.
Tough.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas I'm really fit and I'm strong and stuff, but you might not see me as being as tough as Leon. So is there something in the back of your mind thinking, wait a second, Danny's going to be approachable, non-intimidating. Leon, although he's an amazing trainer and he's very inclusive, I'm a little bit scared. I don't know what to expect.
Oh, so is there an intimidation?
Yeah, is there any intimidation?
Ooh, that's a really good question.
Subconscious or at the forefront of your
mind? I feel like going to Danny's class, if I tell Danny,
I'm not really feeling it.
Yeah, he'll be like, oh, it's all right, you can sit in the swimming pool.
No, I wouldn't. I'd be like, oh, that's all right.
Go from
tens to
tens. He's buoying you off. He's buoying you off.
I know Leon's class, yeah. How are we with it?
You ain't getting away with nothing.
No. The question I have for both of you is, how do you develop patience when dealing with people like myself who are making up these stories in their head saying, oh, you know what? Yeah, I've paid for a gym membership, but I'm just going to go for 20 minutes and do a couple of stretches and then leave. Or how do you help somebody build a mindset, and where do you find the patience in yourselves to be able to deal with that? Because I'm not going to lie, if I was doing what you lot are doing, I'd probably quit. I'd be very frustrated very quickly, because how can you believe in someone who doesn't believe in themselves?
Okay, so there's a point where I look at someone like yourself and many others where I've had my own doubts.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a point where I used to be you in the respect of where your mind was at. There's times where I've doubted myself. There's times where I've been on a professional football pitch and I'm seeing Henry and I'm seeing Scholes, and I'm seeing Gerrard, and I'm seeing all these, and I'm a kid from Fort Worth in my head, and I'm thinking, how am I even, what?
Yeah.
Doubt, right?
100%.
Yeah? Doubt. So coming away from that, and the experiences provide everything that you need to, I guess, from a psychology point of view, I've looked into certain things, educated myself with like, just trying to be patient around that process, that psychological process of understanding people's minds and the doubt that they have in themselves. Doubt is everything. So doubt, because you're doubting yourself, that is your, weak link in the respect of actually just kicking on to going on to be great, right? What you're fearing is that you're going to start it and you're going to quit. Like, do a little bit and then be like, that's not for me. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So what I've got to do is there's a gradual process of easing you into something that you could potentially enjoy first and foremost, because it's about enjoying it, and then start to understand yourself. So when it does get hard, I have to flip that now with you and say, okay, when your life gets hard, away from fitness, right?
Mm-hmm.
When your life gets hard, how long are you going to lay down for?
Mm-hmm. Ain't that the truth?
Right. So my question to you is that, okay, if life gets hard outside, right, or life gets hard in the gym, there's a point where your mind's got to do that transition of wanting to like say, no, okay, wasn't that great? How many games I played and I wasn't great? Because I didn't play great in that game, or I didn't fight well in that fight, or I lost that title fight because I just was just fell short. I'm not thinking to myself, well, that's me then. You can't give up there.
Yeah.
When you are going through that pain, and when you're going through that hardship, and when you're going through that self-doubt, that's when you're that close to becoming greater than you were yesterday.
I feel like I really needed to hear this today.
Does that make sense?
Yeah,
so true. That was really good. That's very
so
deep.
Yeah, man,
and it's good because it's very focused on the person as well.
It's a thin line. It's a thin line between
self-destruction and greatness.
Thank you.
Yeah, so true.
So Finland.
I agree with everything you said there, and I feel the same way, actually. But and in addition to that, I also feel like it's it's a fun personal challenge. When people that I know don't want to go back or they just don't want to even start in the first place, I find it a fun personal challenge to get them to come back for their benefit and to see how they change their whole mindset and mentality about training once they keep coming back is quite a magical thing to see. It really, really is.
Routine is everything.
It really is everything. So for example, I would say, so if someone comes along to a session and they've never really done anything like this before, or they're just the kind of person that does it and stops, I like to set them individual challenges and tasks for them to do in the session. So for example, if they get onto a machine like the air bike, aka the devil's chair, I'm sure you use them with some of your clients sometimes, you know, where you sat down and use it in the CrossFit games and stuff, arms and legs at the same time, I'll go over and I'll be like, look, see if you can get 12 calories in the next 50 seconds, 3, 2, 1, go, bang. And then at the end of the session, I'll be like, oh, Duncan, how did you find that? And he'll be like, oh, that was tough, but I did it. And I said, you got 12, right? And he's like, I've got 13. And I said, right, okay, next time, come back and try and get 14. And so that way he's got an individual reason and challenge to come back and beat. And the reason I say that is because a lot of the people, especially where the people I train, they tend to be a lot of professional city people who are very driven and focused. And when they've got a little metric to focus on and something to beat, then they want to come back and beat it.
That's really,
and it's personal to them. And if they don't, then they know that Danny the trainer is going to be standing there scratching his head thinking, where is he? Yeah. I thought this was the day he was going to beat his record.
It's just goal setting.
Yeah,
so as we apply to our targets and goals each day in life, okay, what you want to achieve that day, that week, that month, that year, it's the same principle of where you can fit in fitness, because that's just as healthy for your mind, right?
I 100% which you, where agree you was going with. Yeah.
So it's a balance. You've got to find that balance of living your life and doing what you've got to do, work and everything that comes around it. You see, I've got kids and all that, so I have to juggle the best I can. At the moment, I'm not really training how my mind's used to training. So now I'm adapting to, okay, Lee, you're not an elite athlete anymore, but you still need to train. Don't get it twisted.
This is really interesting you say this, because I feel like balance is something that I struggle with quite a lot, being a writer. And I write every night. So every night, writing without fail, I have notepads in the back of my car, under my bed, everywhere there's a notepad, because I just have to get certain things out. But when I don't get that opportunity to do it, like yesterday I was on a speed awareness course for 4 hours, I was so angry.
Congrats.
I was just so angry at myself, and I felt like I needed that release. But now, because I started running a lot more, running is having a very, very similar effect to my writing. It's like, if I don't run today, my body's not going to feel as tight as it did last week. And it's not going to feel as good, or I need to sweat because this energy just has to come out of me.
That's something people can't feel until they get in.
Yeah. I have a big thing all the time. Endorphin release. Like, what does that actually mean? I'm not gonna lie to you. People are like to me, yeah, you're releasing endorphins. I'm like, yeah, I'm releasing all of that, but I ain't got a clue.
So you know, the body and the mind releases different hormones, which make you feel differently. So, for example, there's dopamine. So that you get that from, usually from like even something like eating chocolate, something you enjoy, you get dopamine. That makes you feel good, but it's quite temporary. Endorphins is just a hormone that's released in your body during physical exertion
or sex.
Or sex. Okay. Yeah. Or sex. Seriously. Yeah.
Okay.
That's not five kids for nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so people get endorphins released when they train. And there's different ways to release it, different training. But when they finish training, once their body's going into the recovery mode, they feel positive, they feel more cheerful. And something that might have been stressing them out and worrying them before the session, after the session, suddenly seems like no big deal. It's not a big deal. They feel more logical because they're more positive.
That's really interesting. But what do you say to someone who's not as optimistic as you? So I walk into the gym and I say, oh, you know what? Like, I'm very depressed. I've gone through this and that. What are you saying? What are you going to tell me to do? Go into the changing room, get changed and come out and do 10 burpees? Do you know what I mean? Like, how do you begin to break that like wall that I've put up myself? Do you know what I mean?
What I do is when it's situations like that, if someone's being open enough to say like, actually I've been suffering a little bit from depression, not feeling great right now, can't really be asked to do your class, but I'm here. Cool. Well, do you know what? Many years ago, I tried to take my life. I get you. Some days I still wake up, don't really want to really exist today. now we're on the same page. Now that person's like, now that person's like, okay, like
that gets people thinking straight.
Now it's not like I'm not just trying to coach you. Now, I understand your pain. I see, you know, most people I can look in their eyes and see the pain anyway. So I can identify with you already because I've felt that vulnerability. I've felt that lonely place. I've felt being in the dark for a long time. But I know also what it's like to come out of it and to change your mindset. So what I'm trying to do now is literally change your way of thinking. And even though you're coming in, you're not great today, my point is that you're here.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's a big enough achievement.
Whether you come and do one burpee in my class, like you've made the effort to come here. Mm-hmm. But I can assure you they end up doing just enough for what's good for their mind and they walk away thinking that, and that's why they're always like,
okay. Wow. And they get that sense of achievement. But just turning up, like Lee said, is a big deal. And I normally try and get people to come into the here and now. So that's happened to me a lot, actually. People have come in and said, look, I'm here, but I'm not feeling good. And I'm like, are you unwell? Mm-hmm. And they're like, no, I'm not unwell. They often don't explicitly say I'm feeling depressed, but you can see they've had a bit of a tough day at work or whatever. Mm-hmm. They're feeling a bit down. So I say, look, I'll tell you what, why don't you get changed? And that just brings him into the present moment. I say, get changed, have a quick drink of water, see how you feel. If you want to join the first 10 minutes, then join the first 10 minutes. See how you feel then. Mm-hmm. If you want to then duck out, you can. And 9 times out of 10, like, just like Lee said, they end up sticking around. They do just enough. And from my experience, they end up finishing the session like pretty much every single time. And then afterwards, they say, thanks for giving me a pat on the back and getting me to come and
That must feel very rewarding.
Yeah, it does. And they feel good about themselves for actually sticking around
What I really like and love about both of you is the work that you do. I don't know if you can call it work when it's your passion. The art that you create with people is very, very real and relatable. And I say that because I feel like we're growing up now in a time where social media is so prevalent in all of our lives, and fitness can be seen as a very elitist form of exercise. You have to look a certain way online. You have to be doing the hardest challenges or the pull-ups and the flagpoles and all these different things. You don't always feel. I mean, I don't know if I'm speaking on behalf of anyone here but myself, but I don't always feel like it's possible for me to do it.
All right, then. So what is it that you're looking at? Because the thing in this day and age now, the issue that we have is what we see. So how social network has built our lives, whether it be Instagram, a lot of people looking at it like, okay, he's looking absolutely ridiculous. She's looking at wonderful. All of a sudden, you're bringing self-doubt to yourself because you're 100%. Looking and visualizing at so much people who are putting things up on the Instagram and social networks, and everything looks fantastic, and everything looks so great, and everyone looks so amazing, and you're not quite looking like how they're looking, and da 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 da. All of a sudden, that's your self-doubt automatically going in.
What do they say? Comparison is the thief of joy.
Yeah, exactly that.
And it's true.
Exactly that. So it's about no one else's journey but yours. Mm-hmm. It's about no one else's journey but yours. You have to really focus on taking your small steps to what you need to achieve for your journey. And with those small steps, that's when you can find inspiration in yourself to realize, actually, my small steps are leading to me being a greater and better me.
Yeah, 100%.
Rather than looking on this person, looking on that person, and finding doubt from it.
Yeah, I've implemented a new rule in my life now. I don't look at my phone 1 hour before bed and 1 hour when I wake up.
Perfect.
That's great. That gives you some me time to be in the here and the
perfect.
Now. And that's 100%. Massive. That's massive.
I also feel like when you wake up, there's this beautiful dreamland-like state of mind that you're still in. And I think for me, that's when my greatest ideas come, when they're not being interfered by the world of social
media.
One
of my loneliest times are probably in the morning. So when I wake up, that sort of first 5 minutes of waking up, they're my loneliest moments.
Wow, that's really interesting.
Yeah, my loneliest moments. Not so much when I go to bed, because sometimes I can go to bed quite late and my thoughts are everywhere and I'm thinking this and thinking that, and you know. But the morning is really where you wake up in the morning, mindset, even I've changed my alarm music, everything can set you off in
the
way for your that direction of that day to go. Do you see what I mean?
Yep.
And being that, I'm going to just quickly... Where's my tune?
Oh, yeah, your Beast Mode songs. What's this?
Come on.
What is this?
This is my feel-good song.
Feel-good
factor
music.
That's my tune, man.
I like that.
You know what, yeah? Sticking with that, what is the... Yeah. And we're going to wrap this up now. What is the one line, the mantra that you live by that pushes you to get up and get active and get fit? Because, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to be really honest with you. I have started running lately. I've started going boxing. I've started doing workouts in the park, sit-ups and things. And I genuinely feel like... the iPhone 11 version of me, like a brand new upgraded
such a big person.
Yeah, my jeans don't fit, like because they're too baggy. Certain clothes are too big, and I'm like, oh wow, this thing actually works. It's not a lie. It actually works.
The question you just asked though is an interesting one. And it's a big one, but my response to it is quite a fun response.
Go on.
Because I don't feel like personally I can't put that into one sentence because it's too deep and it's too specific to every individual.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, there's one thing I started doing over 10 years ago. I saw it at a seminar, this like real positivity, happy seminar. Mm-hmm. And I've been doing it ever since. And every time I wake up, I do it and I laugh every time because it's so stupid.
Is it, what time is it?
No, it's not that. That is something I do on my Instagram at Mr. Dan Cunningham.
You better tell him.
Every morning, motivation on the Instagram stories. But no, something I do every single day, as soon as my feet hit the ground, I stand up and I say, yes, yes, yes. As loud as I can,
really?
In the environment.
Well, how does your partner feel about that?
That's why I say it quietly. But if I'm on my own, then I'll shout it.
Yeah, yeah.
But doing that alone, the body language, the act of punching and saying the most positive word in the world, yes, which is yes, I accept it's going to be a good day. Yes, I accept all the opportunities that are going to come into my day.
And all the challenges.
And yes, opportunities.
Wow.
That alone sets
That's
me
really
up on a good set. And then when I'm then walking to the bathroom to brush my teeth, I start going over things that I'm happy with in my life. Not things that I'm worried about, but things that I'm happy with. I'm healthy. I'm young. I'm able-bodied.
Yeah, wow.
It's going to be a good day.
You have a great outlook.
So every single day, the first like couple of minutes of my day, it starts with yes, yes, yes. And then it's continued by a list of things I'm grateful for. That alone sets me up for the day and makes sure I'm going to have a good day. And 9 times out of 10... knock on wood.
That's good. Very deep, and you've got like a little rhythm there.
Yeah, it's just a little
philosophy, isn't it? It's
a little ritual every single morning. Yeah.
Mine's more simple. Like I can wake up and be a little bit cloudy sometimes for whatever reason, just my own trauma.
Yeah.
But I generally say when I wake up, thank you. I'm going to try today. That's it.
Yeah, that's powerful.
That's what I say. That's what I say.
And just for
every day.
Just for the record, everyone, Danny and Leon both met today for the first time. So this isn't any like pre-planned, pre-scripted thing.
Yeah, it's funny about energies there. That's very similar.
They just literally met for the first time today.
Morning.
Wow. So thank you. Thank you, I'm going
to
try.
I will try today.
And do you know what's really interesting? Mm. Mine is I'm grateful I opened my eyes.
Wow.
Now let's go get it.
Mm. That's good. That's a combination of us.
Yeah, yeah. So yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. Thank you. I'll try today.
And I'm grateful I opened my eyes. Let's go get it. And on that note, that is the wrap of episode 3. You know what? Please do follow Dan Cunningham and Leon McKenzie. Do you want to share your social media handles, Dan?
Mine's at Mr. Dan Cunningham.
And it's mainly Instagram you use?
Mainly Instagram, mainly a lot of story. Busy on the store is less busy on the grid.
Yep, you'll see him walking around Canary Wharf at 5 a.m. in the morning telling people it's gym time.
Nah.
Brilliant, brilliant. Mine is Leon MCK Insta, Twitter Leon McKenzie 1. That's the main two that I use really, but mostly you'll see me pop up on Instagram trying to inspire.
No, you both definitely are. Thank you very much for joining us here today. That was me, Hussein Manawar, with these two very incredible, inspiring humans, Dan Cunningham and Leon McKenzie, on episode 3 of the I'm Whole Truth Takeover.
Bam! Wicked.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh.
Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Powered by Spirit Studios.